We're about to dive in with Will Green. He's the president and CEO of the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. And he's having a little bit of trouble getting hold of us on this end. So let's get him on our end instead to have a little chat. Had the opportunity to go out to L'Auberge on Thursday, which, by the way, L'Auberge puts on a great event. That event center over there is top-notch. And, of course, all the amenities that come with it couldn't be better. And, by the way, our sister station, 104.5, throwing a bit of a party tonight. They'll be out at L'Auberge for Monday Night Football. It's going to be Kansas City Chiefs versus New Orleans Saints. They'll be, I believe they're posted up inside the sports book, the ESPN Bet sports book. So we were at L'Auberge on Thursday. 104.5 is going to be at L'Auberge tonight. So we'd love partnering up like that. And speaking of partnering up, we have him right now, the president and CEO of the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry, your state's Chamber of Commerce, Will Green. Good morning. How are you, sir?
Morning, Brian. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well this morning. I mean, busy, busy weekend. You got to love how when the bye weekend brings you just so much that you can feed off of, whether you talk about how all the other events around town are planned or Vandy beating Alabama or the Mets stealing one at Philly, no matter where it breaks down, like, it's just a full weekend.
Yeah, yeah. So your Mets, what is it? They tied up at one apiece now?
Yep, stole one at Philly. A series about to go back to New York. They're just posting up late inning comebacks. I don't know if you can live off that for a long period of time, but I'll take the ride while we have it.
Yeah, no LSU or the Saints aren't until Monday night, but there's plenty of action on sports wise this weekend.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you what, last Thursday, a lot of action on the show Thursday. You put together, y'all at Lobby put together for me a great lineup Thursday. I got to tell you, in hindsight, Will, I was a little bit worried that talking workers' comp for that extensive period of time was going to get wonky. But, oh, my goodness, everything was explained in a way that just really hit home for a business owner or really hit home for anybody that we got to learn a whole lot without getting lost in the weeds. This was very applicable content last week.
Yeah, Brian, I appreciate you coming out and doing that. You know, Lobby, we've put on that conference now for many, many years mm-hmm. as a way to try to educate businesses in the way of workers' compensation. If you're a business in Louisiana and you have even one employee, per law, you're required to have workers' comp insurance.
Right.
And workers' comp does not get the attention and maybe a lot of the understanding that, you know, general insurance has in our state, but it's certainly just as important. And, you know, one of the things that we've talked about on your show before is we have an insurance crisis in Louisiana. You know, we're the highest cost automobile state in the country, and we're double the median cost for property insurance. But we're also now about the fourth highest cost state for workers' comp in the country. And so we really need to start talking about better and ways to get injured workers the care they need quickly and efficiently so they can return to work to try to figure out how can we reduce some of the cost in our workers' comp system as well.
All right, to go along with that fourth highest, I believe I learned on Thursday that we're second highest when it comes to medical costs.
We are, yeah. And so we have it in workers' comp, we have what's called a medical fee schedule, and it's inpatient and outpatient. And so there's a scheduled rate when an injured worker goes and to get care, whether it's at a hospital or an outpatient facility. And those rates have not been updated since the early 90s. And as a result, there's a lot of disparity there, a lot of unnecessary costs that have been factored into that system. And I know that the department and Lobby, we are laser focused on bringing some updates to the medical treatment fee schedule to try to move us forward, adjust those costs, make it more fair, make it more transparent, and hopefully move us back in line with other states.
One of the things I took away from Thursday, Will, and I don't know if I was kind of barking up the wrong tree on this one, but it feels like we're having a lot of the same workers' comp battles that we're having on insurance. Just they're similar battles, just on different fronts.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, similar to you know, the car insurance that fight and. You know, there's a lot of people that have done really well on the status quo and don't want to see a lot of change.
Right.
And, you know, unfortunately, that has led to a lot of stagnation in the system. That's led to us standing still. And, you know, when you stand still, you fall behind. And so just like on the tort side, on the workers' comp side, we've fallen behind a lot of our, southern states when it comes to workers' comp reforms. And so that's a lot of what we talked about at our comp conference on Thursday and Friday morning is, you know, how do we innovate? How do we make the system more fair, more predictable, more transparent? You know, we brought in stakeholders and regulators from Mississippi, from Texas, from other parts of the country to try to figure out, you know, what policies have they done? What updates have they done? What things have they done to streamline their workers' comp system to get injured workers the care they need so that they can get back to work?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And as far as those battles are concerned, Will, events like what y'all did last Thursday really elevate the level of conversation to bring everybody into the same room to where, hey, we know what's going on now. We're getting a better grasp of what the problem is, because you can't solve a problem until you know what the problem is.
Yeah, look, a lot of it's just educating business owners, human resource folks, stakeholders, to what other states are doing, to solutions. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel. And so that's a big part of the reason for the conference is to get these people together. And when you get smart people in a room, you start discussing solutions. You're going to come out with good ideas.
No, absolutely. We got Will Green with us. He's the president and CEO of the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. Now, while we were at that conference on Thursday, there was a dock worker strike going on. Will, before we hit the weekend, that strike reached a temporary resolution, but I wanted to dedicate, if we could, a couple minutes this morning to kind of recapping what the strike could have done here in Louisiana and really what we might see in just a couple months as it was a temporary resolution.
Yeah, so prior to that, I think temporary resolution, earlier in the week, about 47,000 members of the International Longshoremen's Association went on strike. And they were looking for about an 80% pay raise over the next 6 years, which it sounds like their agreement runs roughly 6 years. And so they were looking for an 80% pay raise over 6 years. They were making some demands on limited use of automation over those 6 years. And there was no agreement that was made. And so those workers went on strike, and that strike covered the East Coast all the way down to the Gulf Coast. Mm-hmm. So I think there was a little bit of confusion over whether that would affect some of the ports in New Orleans and Baton Rouge and Lake Charles. And it absolutely did affect some of our ports here in Louisiana. And the overall effect of that shutdown to our supply chain was going to cost us billions of dollars a day in disruptions. And so I think, if you saw in the news, there was a lot of reminders of COVID and a little PTSD over, people going in, out and buying toilet paper and paper towels and what was this going to do to our economy. And so I think there was a little bit of a overreaction in some aspects of it. But that just goes to show you when supply chains get disrupted and when chaos goes into our system, reactions like that happens. And so any disruption like that is a major problem to our system. And so fortunately, cooler heads prevailed. I believe there was an agreement to about a 62% raise over the term of the contract. And then I think they're still working out some details over, what commitments will each party make over automation. And they're going to try to get that deal done before the January 15th deadline.
Talk with Will Green, President and CEO of Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. Will, if you told me I could get a 62% pay raise over the next 6 years, I'm signing sight unseen. Like, that's a ridiculous number in the normal world. Were they just that far behind with what they were getting paid? Is this a matter of playing catch up now as well?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think there were some dock workers on the West Coast that I think, got about maybe in the 30s. Mm-hmm. And so, the 80% pay raise seemed like a pretty, pretty lofty ask, but, they ended up at 60%. I really focus more on the automation piece. Every business now, whether you're global or you're local, you're trying to look for ways to streamline. You're trying to look for ways to reduce costs so that you can not pass that down to the consumer. And one of the ways you're doing that is through automation, right? Through technology.
Yes.
Whether that's, and look, automation is also a way to create safety. And so if you can automate, at your docks to reduce cost and increase efficiency, obviously that's going to decrease the cost that gets passed down to the consumer, which everybody wins. And so, I'm really interested to see, what the demands are on mandating, no automation, which, to me as a consumer, frustrates me a little bit.
No, same here, because every industry out there has to deal with adapting to and evolving through automation being implemented within their industry. It's radio's no different. There is no industry out there that hasn't had to say, okay, it's either this or move towards a little more obsolescence.
Sure. And look, that doesn't mean you cut jobs and you don't still have, talent there to oversee the automation. But the reality is that as a business now, you have to look for ways to create a more efficient system.
Right.
And again, those costs get passed down to the consumer. And especially in a time when we have record inflation, any way that we can reduce costs that ultimately gets passed down to us is a good thing.
He's Will Green, President and CEO of the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. I wanted to see if we get to a little on tax reform today, but we're just straight up out of time. Let's talk tax reform session next week, Will.
Sounds good, Brian. Have a great week.
You do the same.